Brother David and I go back a few years.
We sure do.
No, I won't. And I won't mention any short things either. So we won't. Brother David's older brother, Brother Mike, lived in Corpus Christi, and I had the privilege of going down and staying. Brother Tim, who also lived in Corpus at the same time, and I remember playing a game of, I don't know what we were playing out there, basketball of some sort. Brother David, Brother Mike, Brother Tim, and myself. And, good fellowship. Brother Mike quizzed me, questioned me, prepped me. I was exercising in the ministry at the time, and the Montgomery boys, as I remember them, we're in our prime. So what Brother David told me about an hour ago,
yes, we are.
We're in our prime. So I can still say that. The Montgomery boys, because would be include me too.
Sure.
Good faithful men, and I'm thankful to call them my brothers. 2 or 3 years ago, I asked Brother Mark the same question whenever he came up to me and said, you're going to share this pulpit with Brother David Montgomery. He's going to go first. I'm going to go after him. And I asked then the same question I asked now or then just a few moments ago. Are you sure? And after the good preaching we've heard this evening, this afternoon, I've learned a few things over the years, Brother David. I won't extend or even attempt to try to follow at length anything, because that was a beautiful, God bless you, and God bless me. So you pray God will bless us together for just a little while longer. At Abilene, they know a little while longer doesn't mean anything. At 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the morning, they know whenever I get in the pulpit, I say for a little while. That usually means not a little while. A friend of mine, and probably a friend of yours that you've heard in the pulpit before, Brother Ricky Harcrow, Elder Ricky Harcrow, has a saying, and that saying is, this world is no friend of grace. This world is no friend of grace. Brother Randy this morning said something about midway through his sermon that rang true with me, and I was about to give him a rounding amen, but I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to sound like I was also one of those preachers that has difficult weeks. But whenever Brother Randy said that every week is a difficult week for him, I think probably every one of us should have said amen. This world is no friend of grace. And if I could add to what Brother Ricky says, it's not getting any friendlier. It's not getting any friendlier. I would like to go back to the book of Genesis. There are three verses of scripture that I want to share with you, and I'll bring my remarks to a close. This morning or this afternoon, you'll forgive me how many times I'll say this morning, probably. But I want to visit, tying in a little bit with what Brother David has brought to us in his beautiful sermon about facing opposition in this world with our God on our side. Facing opposition in this world with our God on our side. In Genesis, the 18th chapter, God speaks to Abraham, faithful Abraham. And after that, Sarah had laughed at the pronouncement that God gave to Abraham and to Sarah, the Lord said unto Abraham in verse 13, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And then in the 14th verse, God says, now, if this had said, Barry said, then you'd probably understand it. But here's what God's saying, and he's not questioning himself. I think through a question, he's making an emphatic statement. And here's the question. The subject again is facing the oppositions that you face, that I face. That we're, when we're in the Valley of Baca. Because certainly we find ourselves probably more often than what we appreciate. Mm-hmm. But after we've been brought through those valleys, right. And we pause for a moment and we look back and we can say, as was referred to, surely the Lord is in this place. Mm-hmm. Not only was He there, but He is. Mm-hmm. He's not gone anywhere. And so God says to Abraham, or He asks Abraham the question, Is anything too hard for the Lord? Brother Ricky this morning, Elder Ricky Myers this morning, talked about the small things, right? Brother Mark tied that all up so beautifully as you closed the service this morning about the small things and how that to you and I, those small things seem like large things. Most often they do. And here's what God asked Abraham to bring to his attention, the reality that there is nothing impossible with our Lord. And He says, and He asks this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And so while we know the answer to that, knowing that, I would like to just scan with you just a couple of points with you of hard things that your Lord has accomplished. And we could go to Genesis chapter 1 and begin there, and I won't go back and begin reading, but we could begin with the creation story. While many in the world say that it happened this way, the Word of God says that it happened with the voice of God. When the voice of God did this, said that, and said, let there be, it occurred, it happened, it came to pass. For you and I wish that many of the things that were on my, I took the day off yesterday, I don't get many days off, my boss tells me you need to take more days off, and I laugh at him because that's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to take one day off, as Brother Randy said. My weeks are difficult. I deal with difficult situations and difficult projects and difficult expectations. Hard. Too hard. But here the Lord says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And so we can look through the Word of God and we can find what you and I probably would identify as being things that are too hard. Creation would be too hard. Now I can recreate or I can change things that are already created. I can take a board that has already been taken from a tree from my Home Depot shelf and I can turn that into something nice or attempt to turn it into something nice. And even in those things, some of those things are too hard. But not for God. Out of nothing He spoke. And here, let there be light. Two or three years ago when I was here, the storm was coming through and the lights went out and it took a little while before somebody said, let there be light again. The creation, to you and I, that's too hard, but not too hard for God. I remember a little bit later we find a story that Joshua was fighting a battle and he needed just a little more space of time to defeat the enemy. Now you and I, we have enemies in our lives. Maybe it's our finances. Maybe it's our health. Maybe it's our job. Maybe it's the economy. There are many things that are in opposition to us. And we find ourselves in opposition in this world. Remember what Brother Ricky says, Brother Ricky Hartgrove, that this world is not a friend of grace. While we're trying to live by grace day by day, using and exercising the faith that God has given us, making that faith stronger, increasing it, but strengthening it as we exercise that faith. But in Joshua, he needed more time, and he prayed to God. He spoke to God, and God stood the sun and the moon still for about the space of a day until he defeated his enemy. Over in Isaiah's day, Hezekiah was sick, and Hezekiah, Brother David, he prayed to the Lord. Always a good thing to do. He prayed to the Lord. And the Lord answered his prayer. And the Lord said, Hezekiah, here's the answer. And just to prove that, just as a reminder to you that this is going to come to pass, what I'm telling you is going to be the answer to your prayer, I'm going to turn the dial of the sun back 10 degrees.
Yeah.
Too hard?
No.
I can't do that. I can turn my, I'd prefer to turn my clock backwards than forwards. I like it when we get to go back an hour, but I don't like losing that hour, right? But that's only temporary. It's only it's a figment of our imagination, isn't it? Because we live by that thing called a clock. But we can turn our clocks back. That's not too difficult. But turn the sun back? Too hard? For you? For me? Yes. Not for God. 40 minutes. God turned it back. And Hezekiah would remember that. Well, it's too hard for God. In John chapter 3, verse 16, the Word of God says this: for God so loved the world. Too hard? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We think a lot, rightly so, of the great sacrifice that Jesus made for our sins. Mm-hmm. That He came from heaven's pure world to this lowly ground of sin and sorrow. He clothed Himself in the likeness of our sinful flesh. He became sin for us. And we think of all that Christ Jesus accomplished, that He came down, the sacrifice that He made. But whoa, just a minute. For God so loved the world that God the Father made that sacrifice that He gave. You know what that means? He handed over. He delivered. Romans says as much. That when the fullness of the time had come, God, in the Galatian letter, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. The sacrifice that God the Father made in that great thing, that hard thing that God gave His only begotten Son. And if that wasn't hard enough, you ever heard somebody make the excuse, well, I don't know why I would be accepted at church. I don't know why I should go to church. If people knew what I have in my closet, we make excuses. Brother David, we make excuses. I've heard many. But Jesus took those hard, difficult situations that are our excuses, and He took them to the cross to put them away as far as the east is from the west. Here's the question that God asked. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And then if we turn from that to Romans chapter 8, I'm just going to go follow up from Psalm 43, but we'll leave that. You'll turn with me to Romans chapter 8. If we agree this afternoon that there is nothing too hard for the Lord, that if God who spoke and said, let there be light, the God who created all that is, God in 6 days created all of nature, the creatures, the living creatures, the sun, the moon. In the book of Job, I believe it is, where he says just with a span of the hand, he put the stars and the celestial beings in their place. He says to Job, gird up thyself like a man. Answer thou me. When we come to the realization of the greatness, of the majesty, and the power of God, and we hear that question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And we come to that place and we face the oppositions of today. We face the oppositions that we know are coming tomorrow. And we look back at the last week, as Brother Randy said this morning, at the difficult things that we're each facing in our lives. We come to this question. Believing that there's nothing that is too hard for the Lord. Nothing. Then we come to this question. For our assurance in the todays, in the tomorrows that come. In Romans chapter 8, where do you begin? So I'll just skip. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? It's not a good place to skip to. But that's okay. We're old Baptists, so we know what 28, 29, 30 says, right? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us. I like it whenever, was it Brother Ricky this morning talking about getting in a fight and had a friend come along and help him? I don't like to tell those fight stories. I'm in junior high. I wasn't as fortunate as Brother Ricky was. We're blessed. But I like having somebody on my side.
Yeah.
And before I can get any further in this verse, if I recall, if I remind myself, why art thou cast down, O my soul? You know, then, Brother David, that forces me to sit down and think about
it. Does.
Why am I complaining?
Exactly right.
My wife's here, and I'm thankful that she was able to make the trip with me today.
Yeah.
But she's heard me say this more than anybody else in the room. On a Sunday, before I go to work on Monday, I'm encouraging the congregation in Abilene not to complain, to be faithful. Where is your hope? Trust in Jesus. Hope thou in God. Because tomorrow's coming, and tomorrow's going to bring its own problems. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, you know, let tomorrow's troubles take care of themselves. And then I'm in the office and I'm getting my emails first thing on a Monday morning, and preacher, I'm getting those emails in my inbox, and I'm answering calls and unreasonable expectations, and I'm the one that need to behave to that sermon. Because I need a refresher, a reminder. I said, the answer to the question that God asked Abraham was, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I was the first to say, no, Lord. No, there's not. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. You, with a spoken word, you created all that is. You held the sun in its place for the span of a day. You turned back time for Hezekiah. You parted the waters at the Red Sea. I mean, time and time, hard thing after hard thing after hard thing, as you and I would perceive it, God succeeded. Not a problem whatsoever. Not difficult whatsoever. Nothing hard about it whatsoever. And then Monday morning comes and Barry says, Lord, Lord. And then he brings me to this verse. And he says this, what shall we then say to these things? And in the context, it has everything to do with those other verses. I understand that. But the next portion of this ties right there with it, okay? So if you'll give me that much liberty, I'd be happy to go back to verses 28, 29, 30 and spend a little more time with you on that. But for time's sake, I don't want to. But it's doctrinal. It's pulling right along. If God accomplished all of that in verses 28, 29, and 30, those hard things, without your help, without your goodness, without conferring with you or me or the preacher or the church or anybody else, God took care of it all. It's a done deal in that package of grace, sovereign grace. If, he says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who then? Who can be against us? So if I believe the answer to that first question is there anything too hard for the Lord? Barry, what about chemo? That's tough. I've got family members. I myself have been through it. You know, not only is the cancer tough, but the chemo's rough. Eat you up. The unrealistic response from the doctor across the desk. This, that, and the other. Too hard. I understand. But if I believe that the answer to the question, that God, there's nothing too hard with our God, nothing, then when by nature, by fact, then we have to follow that if I believe God is able and is truly capable to do all these great things that I identify that He has done, and I come to this place where none of those things that I call hard in my life today measure up to any of those, then I have to conclude and exercise my faith that God, if God be for us, then who can be against us? We're living in a world, as Brother Ricky says, that is not a friend of grace. And I just accept that. I have to. Don't expect them to convert in my way. I don't expect them to treat me any differently. But God does. And God loves me before the foundation of the world. And He loves you before the foundation of the world. And I take that to the bank of faith. And as I go to the bank of faith, I can trust that God, who loved me before the foundation of the world, still loves me today. And if He loves me today, then He's on my side. And if He's on my side, then come what may of the world's tribulations, trials, as Brother David quoted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. I'll just go to that verse. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, the Apostle Paul said in the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable, but we have a hope that goes and exceeds this life only, that reaches into the portals of glory. And the realization is that Christ came, He lived for us, and He died for us. And as Paul was arguing in that 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, that He rose again for us, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father in glory, making intercession for you and I. He's not done with you yet, my friends. Not only did He love you with an everlasting love, and He came to exercise that love on the cross of Calvary for you, not only did He die for you and live for you, but He also arose for you. And friends, today, even while you're doing what you're doing and thinking about what you're thinking about, at this very moment, Jesus, our risen Savior, our high lifted up priest, He is making intercession for us. So, when you find that thing that seems too hard, know this. I like that word, know. Know this, that Jesus, your Savior, in that moment of weakness and fear of that thing that is too hard right now, is making intercession for you.
Yeah.
Say, Father, send help. Father, heal up the broken heart. Father, cheer the spirit. Father, hold them near. You ever pray for one? When the loved one has passed, when they've said that last goodbye, talk about too hard. As a minister, one of the hardest things I have always had the difficulty of doing is going to the hospital and going to the funeral home. Two things. Because the obvious words are there. The obvious words are there. It's going to be all right. The Lord is taking care of the situation. But only the Lord, in that moment, that is too hard. Too hard for words to bring comfort. And the prayer to God is this. Lord, the Lord who created out of darkness everything that is, and said, let there be light. In this moment, Lord, that is too hard, too difficult, too painful, too wounded, Lord, come. Come and heal. Come and bind. Come and mend. Come and do as only You as the great physician can. Touch and breathe peace when peace is needed. In those moments, too hard for You, too hard for me, we go to One who the answer is, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. You, I, we live in a world that is no friend of grace. And while we try to walk along with Jesus, we have those difficult moments. Remind yourself again. Be reminded again by friends and loved ones that where Jesus is interceding for you, that Christ is on your side, is walking with you, and He has loved you with an everlasting love, and He has bled and interceded on your behalf. I'm thankful to know the great courage that when we're in the valley of Baca, appreciate the lesson, Brother David. Good preaching, comforting to the heart. That when we are there in that place, it's not a place that's forever. It's a place that when we are delivered, we can look back again and say again, surely the Lord is there. May God bless you.
What a comfort the preaching of the gospel is. I was thinking that statement, nothing is too hard for the Lord. It's beautiful that that statement can be at the same time glorying praise to God and a comfort to His people.
Right?
The fact that He has power to say that is glory to Him. But Brother James, to acknowledge that He has the power, it's such a consolation to us. What a sweet comfort we've received this day. As Brother David was talking about his father and the sound in the trees, it made me think of a lesson that my mother taught me, and it made me miss my mother. But one of the things that my mother taught me was about those trees clapping their hands. And the sound of a spring rain, when it just starts to hit the trees. Feel that. What a testimony it is to the grace of God.
Amen.
And I will share this with you. Some of you know this to be true. If you don't, you could ask some of us that do or try it yourself. There is a place I've heard a sound in the trees that I've never heard anywhere else. There is a cemetery called the Alexander Cemetery, just north of Pilgrim's Rest, Trinity Baptist Church in Stratton. And I don't know who it is, but there's a series of about four grave plots. And at the corner of that space, I think they're pine trees. But there's four trees that stand up above everything else in that cemetery. And if you stand in that hollow of those four, it's I highly recommend it.
Okay.
It's hear the Lord moving in the trees.
Yeah.
And just as it was a testimony for when to stay still and when to move.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how the voice of the Lord is for us.
Sure is.
Still and small, yet so definitive.
Yeah.
And so purposeful and meaningful. So thankful because in that spectrum of what we need, all of us surely need comfort.
Yeah.
And there's some, I'm sure, that came this weekend needing comfort more than anything else.
Yeah.
And how the Lord can sweetly deliver. If you have a desire to join the church, let that desire, let the sound of that desire move you.
Yeah.
And know that that sound is of the Lord. Right? There's not really many other voices from many other sources that would try to incline you to join the church than God Himself.
Mm, that's good.
I mean, we want more members. I want people to join Little Vine. Right? But your boss doesn't care whether you join the church or not.
Yeah.
Your dental hygienist doesn't care whether you join the church or not. The devil doesn't want you to join the church. Right? And you think of all the voices, all the reasons not to join the church, they come from everywhere. But the one voice that compels you to join the church, that comes from one place. And it's a God who's willing to be heard. And so let us be willing to listen. If you have a desire to join the church, we'll have that opportunity. Also to tell these two brethren what a blessing that their preaching has been to you and to us.